welcome back to our special episodes of Game of Thrones. We are currently nameless, but we will probably come back to you as part-time characters. This is a little bit of an in-between. Last year, I remember John kind of did a few recaps, but I don't think he finished. And I remember the year before that, we really got into it and had a lot of fun. So I thought maybe this is a year where we can actually finish the entire season with you guys and talk about it every week and come up with our own, what would you call them, theories of what's going to happen at the very end. Yeah, exactly. I should say this now because I always forget. My name is Maria Garcia, and with me today is Bridget Serdar.
Hey, guys. How do you always forget to say your name?
Because I
know you pointed out last time. It's baffling.
I only just realized it, and I edit it every week, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I never say my name until the very end. I don't know. I guess I'm so caught up in introducing you guys and saying everything and not forgetting the words that I forget my own name, but, you know, whatever. I am Maria. That's all you need to know.
And I am Bridget.
And Bridget will actually be the one hosting this episode, because as far as I know, Bridget, you have read all the books, right?
I have.
All right. Yes. I haven't read a single one, so we either complement each other well or I'm going to sound ridiculous throughout this whole thing. I have seen all the seasons, but as far as I know, we are in uncharted territory, right? There's nothing here that anybody knows of.
Right, yeah, after last season, because there are only 5 books out and we're still waiting on Winds of Winter.
Right, I do remember there were a few...
Which correlates with season 6.
Sorry. I do remember there were a few elements of season 6 that were still part of the books that weren't covered in season 5, but I'm pretty sure we're done with that. Everybody's as caught up as they can be, and now it's like, unless you're a super fan or you know George R. R. Martin, we don't know what's going to happen. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, it really is, but like... I'm also kind of sad because I can't read the book first.
Oh, I can understand that, but I'm also happy that no one's going to be smug about it before the episode actually drops, and I'm happy about that. We're all going in blind.
That's fair, but they have, like, at this point in time, they've changed so much that I don't think they'll have the same ending at all.
I would hope that at least the final ending is like, the same. I can understand maybe taking different routes, but... not ending in the same way as what George R. R. Martin is planning, that would be really weird.
I think it'll, like, still be the same endpoint, but I don't... There are so many characters that aren't alive now that should be, or that are still alive and shouldn't be.
Right.
So I think that's just going to change everything.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about the first episode of Season 7, the one everybody has been waiting for, and it is called... Dragonstone. Overall experience, Bridget, how did you feel about it?
Overall, it felt like there wasn't enough because it just left off the last season. The season finale of season 6 was just so mind-blowing and totally badass and awesome that this was just sort of like, hey, here's where everyone is. Take that as you will.
Right.
And definitely not in a bad way at all. It just felt like, where's the rest of it once you finally got to the end credits?
Oh, absolutely. And that final scene as well was like, oh, well, maybe we could have done a bit more with that. It was left off. It was left interesting, but still, I did expect a little bit more. Before we go on, I just remember, Jerry is a really big fan of Game of Thrones. And I'm yes, and I'm just expecting anything from him now. So I'm not even going to worry that I don't get the names right. I'm not going to worry that I forgot something because Jerry will let me have it. I'm just warning you beforehand. Jerry will comment.
Jerry.
Hi. All right. So let's start with the beginning of the episode.
Should we intentionally mess up then?
Oh, God. He will just explode. I think he will die. If we do that. If we don't at least make the effort, he will not tolerate that.
Alright, in that case.
Alright, so start us off, Bridget, where everything began.
Okay, so the start of the episode, they started with a cold open, they didn't begin with the title sequence.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's at House Frey, and Walder is throwing a... feast for all of his men, all of his most favorite men who helped slaughter all the Starks. Surprise, surprise, it's actually Arya as Walder. If I don't know how that would be a surprise to anyone, if they just never saw the show before, maybe then. But, yeah, so Walder / Arya ends up poisoning all of the men who are there, and that's how they all die, and she gets sort of revenge for the Red Wedding.
Honest to God, it did confuse me for a second, because I know Walder Frey is dead, but at the same time, I was like, are we going back in time a little bit? Like, what's happening? And then when he talks about the poison wine, I wouldn't put that past Walder Frey, so I wasn't entirely sure, but of course, like, if I would have remembered properly, I would have known this was about to happen.
Yeah.
Great start, in my opinion. Like, if you were worried that things were not going to be interesting, it was an amazing start.
Yeah, definitely. It kicked things off into high gear, and then I would say that was the best part about this episode. At least the highest part as far as that goes, because it's the most action-y, and the rest of it was just, again, here's where everyone is.
Pretty much. Yeah, it started off with a bang, and then kind of just, like, it stayed in the same pace and in the same emotional place throughout the whole thing.
Yeah. Which, again, not a bad thing. Not an awful way to start off the season, especially with the way that season 6 ended.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, we went to seeing the White Walker army coming out of, like, a giant cloud of whiteness. And All you see is, like, this tundra and a giant cloud of white in the distance. You're like, okay, are these the White Walkers? Is it Bran and Meera? Is it someone else? What's going on? You find out that it is the White Walkers, and they have 3 undead giants.
I know!
I
was really sad about that.
They were so hard to kill when they were alive. Now there are at least 3 that we've seen who are with the White Walkers now.
Yeah, that was really sad. And again, it's just, well, winter is here, but winter is still walking towards everybody, so it's just to remind you that this is still happening, I guess.
Yeah. And to make everyone poop their pants, I guess.
I mean, I'm there. Successful. That was what they wanted, done.
Yeah, I watched it with my aunt and my cousin, and my cousin just sat there and he goes, holy sh**. And he almost dropped his drink.
Yeah.
That lasted, like, I almost forgot about that. I'm so glad that I took notes. Otherwise, I would not have remembered it.
Oh, yeah. It was very quickly. And literally no dialogue happened whatsoever.
Nothing. Just a awkwardly long shot of a cloud and then White Walkers.
Yeah.
After that, we have Bran and Meera at the wall. And I can't remember this guy's name now. Oh, goodness. Jon's friend, who then became the Lord Commander.
Ed?
Ed. Yes, Ed Tollett.
Okay.
He meets them and asks, how am I supposed to know that you're Bran Stark? And then Bran does his old 3-eyed raven thing and is like, oh, I know all this stuff about you, but doesn't actually reveal that he's Bran.
To be fair, like, Bran, I don't know, like, Bran revealed, like, a lot of knowledge about the White Walkers and his experiences with them, but that doesn't make it known that he's Bran Stark, right? Like, how?
Exactly.
Like, I get it that he obviously has some powers and some knowledge, but that doesn't make him a Stark. That whole thing was a little like, okay, you're just showing off, Bran.
It's definitely creepy enough to be like, okay, come inside so we can talk, but not enough to be like, you're definitely Bran Stark.
Yeah. Maybe he just wanted their attention and that was enough.
Maybe.
I don't remember much. Well, I do remember the last thing Bran saw, which is, of course, everything we've been waiting for and the truth about possibly Jon Snow's mother. Mm-hmm. But do you know why they're at the wall now? Like, what exactly do you think he's trying to achieve?
I think he's trying to unite everyone against the White Walkers. And there's a theory that I recently just saw that, like, has to do with Bran now becoming the Three-Eyed Raven, in the fact that, like, that was never who Bran was. The Three-Eyed Raven was very pragmatic, and he was calculating, and he did everything for a reason, and he didn't let his emotions, like, get in the way, and that's just never been Bran.
Right.
So, I don't really know what his actual plan is.
Like, all I can think of...
That theory...
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, we can bring up, like, talk about that theory later.
All right.
When we get to that.
The only thing I can think about, the only thing I can think about is that he's there to see Jon, but even with the new, I don't know, I mean, everything's still pretty vague, like, even with the new knowledge he has of Jon, how is that going to help Jon at the moment? I'm not sure.
I'm not really sure about that one.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. It was another very, very short scene. I feel like most of these were like very, very short scenes, which is fine, as you said, because we have there's so many characters and we have to kind of like regroup and let you know where they are.
The next place we end up is Winterfell,
Yes.
and Jon is talking to the whole hall of all the lower houses that have sworn fealty to him, and they're talking about how to find Dragonglass and how they have to start training everyone into using Dragonglass, and they literally mean everyone. Men, women, sons and daughters, everyone is going to learn how to fight because they can't. Jon says something to this effect: we can't win if only half of the North is fighting.
True.
They also decide that the free folk are going to man the castles, and that's when they find out that they're going to send them to Eastwatch, near which is the nearest to Hardhome,
Okay.
so that way they can protect that, because that is where they last saw the White Walkers.
Okay, got it.
But
That bit of information I totally missed.
yeah, this is why I took notes, because I knew I was going to miss stuff like this. And it's also, that's the last place that Carhold owns, which is the Karstark family who betrayed the Starks when Robb was the King of the North.
Okay, that part I got that there was betrayal and there was the question of forgiveness. I just don't remember when this house betrayed them. Does that mean they betrayed them for the Red Wedding? Oh, okay. Understood.
What happens next? Sansa and Jon have a little bit of a debate in front of everyone. And, like, nobody else argues between them. They just let the two of them talk. So it's very clear that while Jon's the king in the North, they all respect what Sansa has to say. And they all just let her go, which I think is great. And it, like, ties into the theory that it's going to be the War of Five Queens this time around.
Oh, that would be amazing.
It would be. I'm really hoping for that.
I was really interested in that dynamic because we saw a lot of Sansa and Jon in the last season, and that was really great, like having some of the Starks reunited. I found it interesting that Sansa, first of all, after everything she's been through, she feels that she's at home and she's safe and she can speak up. I thought that was great. But also, she must understand that undercutting Jon in front of everybody doesn't show unity, and that could easily bring forth another betrayal, especially with that snake just Littlefinger in every damn corner. I'm so sick of his face. It's so annoying.
You really don't like Littlefinger, do you?
It's honestly a compliment to the actor because he just can look at the camera
Uh-huh.
or at someone and you just feel it. You just feel him plotting and doing something. And when Brienne of Tarth goes like, "Why is he still here?" I'm like, "I know! Why are you here? You're the worst."
It's even better because the actor doesn't even like say, "Oh yeah, this is what Peter's like." No, he refers to the character as himself. He's like, "Oh yeah, this is what I was thinking."
Yeah, he does an amazing job, honestly. He's a great character. It's just so obvious he always wants something, and I just don't understand. Well, for like even Sansa hates him, and I understand that they need him because he was the reason they won the last battle, but like I don't feel like anybody keeps like tabs on him, and they should. Like nobody should trust him or let him walk around and do whatever he wants to do. This is not a thing that should be happening.
It's not, but I think Sansa knows that, and she also, at one point later on in the show, she says that she knows what he wants.
Right,
And
yeah.
whether she actually does or not, if she actually knows that fact or thinks she does, she feels like she has the upper hand and she's keeping him around for that fact alone,
Well, I don't know how you
I
can
think.
I don't know how you can play Littlefinger. I hope she can because somebody needs to put him in his place.
I think his arrogance is going to get him into trouble. I think that's what's going to happen to Littlefinger.
Yeah, he has a lot of balls in the air and I don't he has pledged allegiance to a lot of people. I don't know how that's ever gonna work out.
It's not. That's how.
The bat ones never die quick enough.
Nope. Then after Sansa and Jon have their little debate, the next scene over is the two of them talking about it, and Jon says we can't do that. We need to be like united front and everything.
Exactly.
And I don't remember. She ends up comparing him. He thinks that he compares her to compares him to Joffrey at one point, and then he compares her to Cersei.
Oh, because it seems like she admires her. Yeah, I don't understand why they went to such drastic measures, because obviously, and she does say it, like, Jon Snow is the most opposite anyone could be from Joffrey. And Sansa has known Cersei up close and personal, how cruel she can be. But there was a sense of respect, I guess, of understanding the power that she has and how she can manipulate people. And I think they just have to be cautious.
Yeah, I think when it comes to that sort of understanding of a person, like how far Sansa understands Cersei, it eventually crosses a line to no matter how despicable they could actually be, a part of you empathizes with them because of how strongly you understand them.
Right, that's what has happened to a lot of viewers with Cersei. I personally really hate her, but you can't
Yeah,
deny that she's an incredible character.
I love to hate Cersei.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Although sometimes I just hate to hate and really hate Cersei, but whatever. I'm a little bit worried though, because last time Jon is basically back in charge, which is great. I love that he's the King of the North right now. But the last time he was in charge, and he was the, what you call it, the Commander's Watch? Was that it? No.
Lord Commander.
The Lord Commander, yeah. When he was the Lord Commander, he basically punished the people who betrayed him, and that didn't go so well, because then he united with the Wildlings, and they didn't respect him, and that's when Jon died the first time. Not that he has died again, but we never know. And now he's kind of going the other way around, and he's showing mercy, and Sansa wanted them to be punished. I don't know. I think the fact that they haven't been united in this first decision could bring a lot of problems. Also, when it seems like every time they punish someone who has betrayed them, it goes bad for them. When Robb killed that guy who betrayed him, then the Red Wedding happened and all of that. So I don't know. Maybe Jon is actually doing something smart. I don't know.
I would like to think he is, but Jon Snow also knows nothing, so.
I think he has learned something. Come on. He's been through a lot.
Possibly. He has been through quite a lot.
Yeah.
I think as far as that argument went, it was less of everybody wanted to just blame the entire family for what these two people did, and Jon was like, no, it's these people did it.
That's very
It
true.
wasn't their kids, it wasn't the whole house, which is, I think, John was understanding that you should punish the people who do what they're not supposed to, but there's no need to hold that grudge against those who are left behind.
Yeah, and had no choice in the matter. They really didn't do anything.
Yeah, which is why he had Ned Umber and what's her name?
Alice?
Alys Karstark
Yeah.
swear fealty to them.
Yes.
And they're like children. And it was in that moment that I think that the rest of the houses were like, okay, we're kind of being jerks right now.
Yeah, of
Not gonna
course.
say it, but we know it now.
Yeah, and also, I think a lot of people think of mercy as weakness, but I think overdoing it like the Boltons did, just proves that you're not gonna win, and people might fear you, but they may not respect you, and their loyalty might not lie with you. So I think Jon Snow is doing something right. Let's just hope so. Fingers crossed.
Sure hope so. The next place that we end up is King's Landing with
Yes.
Cersei and Jaime over the giant map that was painted on the ground. And I don't know about you, but I thought that map just looked beautiful.
Yeah,
That was like the first thing that I noticed.
have you seen all the memes and all the gifs that people are doing of maps now? It's pretty funny.
I have not, no, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, there's tons of maps now. Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful. I don't know how I feel about it. It felt like finally someone decided to show us everything and where everything is. I mean, yeah, you see it always in the opening credits, but it's like, by the way, this is what we're fighting for, and this is what we're doing.
Yeah. This was the scene from the whatchamacallit, from the trailer where it was enemies in the east, enemies in the
Yes.
west, enemies in the south, enemies in the north. And it was very interesting to see it like that way, like how they had it in the actual scene. They also show, like, this is when they reveal that they know that Tyrion is Dany's hand, finally.
Yes, they do know. And she not very subtly blames Jamie for that.
I can get to that later.
Oh, sorry.
it's fine. And they also say that Tommen's a traitor during this scene.
That was so
It was
cold.
Cersei did.
That was so cold. These are the moments where I hate Cersei so much. This entire scene just made me hate her so much because she's just so arrogant, and it pisses me off how constantly arrogant she is and how she doesn't understand that is her biggest weakness. Like, Jaime is being so reasonable, and it's true. They have no allies. They have nothing, and she still acts like she has everything, and it really upsets me.
Yeah, I have nothing really to say to that because that's all true.
I just don't understand why she had to go. I don't know if it's her way of coping with it to say that Tommen betrayed her. I don't understand that part. Like, she moved on so quickly.
I think she just broke after Tommen died.
Makes sense.
Because the prophecy is still coming true, even though she got rid of Marjorie. The prophecy that Maggie, the frog, told her when she was a kid. And she is freaking out about that. So I think when Tommen finally died, she just, like, essentially went completely insane and is totally content with it and is not backing down.
Right. And I think also the prophecy ended with a younger queen taking her place. So I think that's why she's so focused maybe on Daenerys now, because it's not over and this could happen.
Yeah, it was that she would marry the king and not the prince. The king would have 13 children and she would have 3. Gold shall be their crowns and gold shall be their shrouds.
Yes.
A younger, more beautiful woman will not usurp her, but take everything that she has.
Okay.
And then she will be choked by the hand of the Valonqar, which is the younger brother.
Hold on. She will be choked by the hand of who?
The Valonqar, which in Valyrian means the younger brother.
Her younger brother?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Interesting.
Which I will also get to a little more later.
Okay.
Right after this, Jaime tells her that they need allies, and she's like, yeah, I know that, and I have some. Euron Greyjoy shows up, and all the rest of the Ironborn that didn't go with Yara and Theon. And he tries to empathize with Cersei and Jaime over their shared, like, kin betrayal, because his niece and nephew abandoned him, and this, similarly to how Tyrion did.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jaime and Euron have a moment where they talk about the Greyjoy Rebellion.
Yes.
And Jaime's like, why should we trust you? And Euron's like, well, because I like killing Greyjoys just as much as you do. And he said that he has 1,000 ships and 2 good hands when he's proposing to Cersei. And at that point, they're like, oh, okay, the whole world knows that this is actually true.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very clear dig at Jaime.
Right.
Then he said that he'll come back with a gift because she refused him, and that he won't return until he has a gift worthy of her.
Any thoughts on that?
Actually, yeah. I don't think they showed this in the show, but in the books, he has this horn that, when blown, causes all the dragons to listen to whoever's in the area.
Oh.
But the horn also kills whoever blows the horn.
Oh, like, it so burns useless. Them alive
from the inside out. Useless unless Euron actually figured out the key to immortality, which it's theorized that he did. So I think he might take the horn and try and get her a dragon.
I see.
I think. Don't know if it's definitely not going to pan out, but I think he'll at least try it.
Okay. I don't know. For a second, I thought he was maybe going to go and get a Tyrion, because she's made it so clearly that she still hates him and she wants him dead. But I don't know. He didn't really give much of a hint. Yeah, he didn't elaborate on that. We've only seen Euron. Is that how you say it? Euron?
Euron, yeah.
Yeah. We've seen him in, what, 3 episodes now? Maybe this is the one where we've had more face-to-face time with him.
We saw him in this one, when they had the king's moot, and when he killed his brother, I
right,
think.
Right, which I don't think we see his face at all in that.
No.
How do you feel about him as a character? I'm sure he shows up more in the books, and he only just showed up in the series.
Oh, he's a jerk. Okay. I do not like him. He's just as crazy and ruthless, if not more so, than, like, Ramsay is.
Wow.
We just don't know it yet.
Okay.
Yeah, he killed his brother, he was gonna kill Yara and Theon. Everyone on his ships, like, has their tongues cut out, so they can't talk about what happened while he was gone.
Oh my god! Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So no, I do not like him.
Understood.
Yeah, he initially wanted to marry Danny too in the books. He's like, yeah, you're gonna go get Danny for me. He sends like his other brother to go do that. And
Oh,
now
okay.
he's ignored that in the show and is going straight for Cersei.
Understood. Do you think Cersei was amused by him? I feel like there was a little something there. I don't know if I'm crazy.
I was amused by him in that scene, so
Like, I don't know. Like, Cersei has gone through a lot, and I don't feel like she would be easily amused, but she seemed amused by him. Like, she liked him or something. I don't know.
I think she was enticed, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Like she thought it was intriguing and entertaining and worth giving a shot
Okay.
because he seemed so willing to help her and he had everything she needs,
That is true.
basically, or everything she thinks she needs.
Okay, do you want to talk about your theories about Cersei, or do you want to leave that for later?
I can leave that for later because it comes in again during another scene later on.
Oh, okay. Go on then. Where are we headed off now?
Now we're going to the Citadel with Sam.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah,
We're so
Sam.
sorry.
Sam. I'm gonna say it now. That soup looked very much like that poop did.
And I think that was the point that everything just looks and probably tastes like that poop. It's
Yep.
just an endless cycle of crap.
Yeah. One of the weird things that I noticed was that they had like running water
Right? What
there.
was that?
Yeah. I have no idea. And I don't know why they don't have it everywhere else, but I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And I want to know how they figured it out. One of his chores was in the library, and during this first scene at the Citadel, he doesn't. That's when you see the restricted section. And he doesn't go into it until later on, but as of right now, he finds out that the Maesters are the only ones who have keys into that section. And after that whole like scene of him going through all of his chores, he ends up like working on a cadaver with the Archmaester, and it's Maester Wayland is the name that they give him. I can't remember if that's anyone important or not.
I wouldn't
It
know.
sounds slightly familiar. I'm looking it up right now because I can't remember. Yeah, I guess he's just for this one episode. I don't think there's anything else of him in it.
Okay.
But that's when they find out that Sam asks the Archmaester for access to the restricted section. And he tells him, the Archmaester reveals to Sam, he's like, I know why you want to get in there, and I believe you about the White Walkers. And Sam says, so why can't I get in there? And his answer is that we always thought the world was going to end, and it didn't. So now it can't possibly be about to end, so there's no point to go in there. And
Great
that just seems
logic.
very naive.
Yeah.
And I think that's about when he, whatchamacallit. Oh no, he did go into the restricted section in this
Yeah,
scene.
he stole some books, I
He
think.
did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was later on. Never mind. He did go into the restricted section at the end of the scene. He steals the keys from somebody who I think was sleeping and then went in there and stole a bunch of books. And I think I told you guys about this theory at the end of last summer that I think Sam is going to become a wizard. Did I tell you that one?
Sounds familiar. It must have been you.
Yeah. It was basically like the Maesters have a school of thought where you learn about magic. But nobody's ever been able to use it, and it's frowned upon because they think it's stupid because nobody's ever able to use it. So I think Sam's going to figure it out, and I think he's going to do it by looking at these books from the restricted section.
Oh.
What do you think?
Well, I don't know, 'cause in terms of magic, the only thing I've seen is I forgot to I totally forgot her name, the red lady. What's her name?
Melisandre.
Yeah, and that's because she serves the Lord of the Light, and that's not what Sam's case would be. So I have no idea how he would suddenly become a wizard or what he could do or what function would that serve? Like what would his purpose be? It would be super interesting
Well,
though.
the Children of the Forest created the White Walkers using magic.
Oh
So I think
yes.
if you were able to figure out how to use magic, and considering just how smart he is, he'd be able to figure out a way to maybe not reverse it. Well, maybe reverse it, but at least stop them.
Truth be told, just between us, is Sam really that smart or is he just lucky?
He's very lucky. Like that's how he's still alive. Is because of how lucky he is. But he's also a very intelligent person, but that's only because he does so much reading.
Exactly. So I don't know. I mean, I'm all for Sam having amazing powers, but I know a lot of people have thought for a long time, like, why is Sam still alive? Like, I don't understand this. But he clearly has a purpose.
This is why I think he's still alive, to become a wizard.
Okay, I'll believe you. I have no problems with Sam becoming a wizard.
Okay. After he steals the books, we end up back in Winterfell, and Brienne and Todd and Pod are fighting. She's training him, and he keeps messing up, and every time she keeps saying no, and you see him getting like more and more upset about it. And then Tormund comes over and like messes her up, and then Pod wins, and she gets pissed off and like beats him to the ground, basically.
I love so much the fact that there's still like a Tormund and Brienne thing going on, and I really hope there's more. I love how infatuated he is with her. It makes perfect sense.
It's the best, especially because she's just so uncomfortable with it.
I know, like she's so not used to it, and he has done nothing so far, but the fact that he's just paying attention to her, it's she does not like it. And what does he do? Like, I think she beats him to the ground and he's like, "Oh, lucky man," or I don't know, something like that. It's so adorable.
It's amazing. I'm so glad that they did that.
I know.
Then right after that, we see Littlefinger and Sansa talking, and he tells her that he just wants her to be happy and safe. And her response is, "Well, I am safe." And he goes, "But you're not happy. What can I do to make you happy?" And I don't, she didn't give him an answer, I don't think.
She did. She was like, because I don't have peace and quiet or something like that. Like, basically,
Well,
just go
yeah.
away.
But that wasn't like an actual answer. It was just her to like get him to shut up
Well,
and leave her
no,
alone.
yeah. Well, I think Sansa knows it's not really a time to be happy, and this guy just, ugh, he's just such a kiss ass, and it's so annoying. Like, all I did was roll my eyes every time he said something to her. Just go away.
He is. But as far as the books are concerned, it's harder to see in the show. It's very clear that he like has a very creepy thing for her. Like,
Oh, I
and
think that was pretty clear when he tried to kiss her several times.
but to the point that like he might even put that above his actual plans to take
Do you
over.
think so? I thought that until he left her with the Boltons, and I was like, why? Like, that's the whole moment I thought he was just using her because he knew exactly what he was doing.
That's the show. That didn't happen in the books.
Oh, so what happens in the books?
In the books, it's another character, not Sansa, who's with the Boltons. She's still in the Vale.
Oh yeah, it's supposed to be this girl that they think
Jane
it's
Poole,
Arya,
her best
right?
friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So in the book, is she still with Littlefinger?
Probably at this point, they would have made their way to Winterfell, and she probably would have been the one to convince him to be like, "We have to save Jon."
Okay.
When John probably sent a raven to ask for his help.
All
So
right.
I think at this point, if we got to see to book seven, A Dream of Spring, I think it's going to be called, she'd be there now.
All right, good. Yeah, I don't know. The moment when he takes her away from King's Landing and then goes to her aunt's house and all that, I was pretty sure that there was gonna be something there between them and that she would have the upper hand because it was so clear that he's into her in a creepy way because she's the daughter of the love of his life and blah blah blah. I don't know where this is going. I just don't want him to win. That's all. I don't want him in Winterfell. I don't want him near them, but we'll see.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen with this man, but I hope it's nothing good.
Seriously.
And this scene ends with Brienne asking him why he's still here, asking Sansa why he's still here. And then it leads to Sansa saying that she knows what he wants, but I'm not so convinced that she actually knows what he wants.
I mean, it's not hard to figure it out at this point, right? He wants power. He's trying to weasel his way in some way or another. And maybe he wants her in the process, but I really don't think he'll let that stand between him and his throne. I don't
I
know.
don't know.
I
Only
think he's
time will tell.
plotting. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like everything that happened in the books, and it's just I think he's trying to get the power because of a slight that happened to him when he was younger with Catelyn.
Yes.
But like he wanted it for a specific reason then, and that's probably the same specific reason now. But I don't know what that reason
Maybe.
is.
Yeah, I don't know. He's definitely the most persistent and what's the word? Conniving? Is
Conniving
that a word?
works. Yes, that works.
Yeah. I think he's conniving. I don't know. I think a lot of his plans have fallen through and he's kind of regrouping. Because last I heard, that's the other thing. Last I heard, he went to Cersei and promised him that he knew where Sansa was and he was going to deliver her. I don't know. I know that Cersei now knows Sansa is in Winterfell because obviously she sent a raven and told Jon to, like, pledge his allegiance or die. But I don't know if she's still counting on Littlefinger. I don't know what's gonna happen with that.
I have no idea.
Oh well.
Oh well, indeed.
Yes.
And the next scene, we f see Arya again. And she's riding through the woods on a horse, and we hear somebody singing. And turns out to be Ed Sheeran, who is a red coat Lannister soldier.
Why? Just why? Why? I don't. Why? There was no need. And he literally says, like, nothing else. It was so dumb to see his dumb face in this show. It made me so angry because I heard him. I was like, okay, someone's singing. And I see his face, like, are you kidding me? Ed f Sheeran, why?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that.
Am I the only one who got really angry at that? Did you not care at all?
I did not care.
Oh, come on.
No, did not care about it at all.
All right, fine. I'll be the only one.
There are a lot of people who were pissed off about it, but I am not one of them.
Okay, well, at least as long as there's someone else out there, it's fine.
Yeah, I thought that they announced it last summer that he was going to be in an episode, though. Like, I feel like we've known for a while that this was going to happen.
But it's so awkward because if he was an actual character that did something, I'd be like, okay, fine, he was there. But he just is there, he sings, basically doing what he does, and then does nothing else. I don't. It made no sense. Like, who did he call for this favor? It's so weird.
But that song is really important, and I will get to that.
Oh. All right. Then I'll stop complaining. Go ahead.
It's at this point that, like, Arya finds the red cloaks, and she sits down with them, and they give her food, and they give her wine. And then they reveal that they actually hate King's Landing, and they're not too happy with, like, the job that they're given, or that they had while they were there, and they're a lot happier now that they're up there to keep the peace after the Freys were slaughtered. And the song that they sing is called Hands of Gold, which
Okay.
in the books was revealed, I think around book three. What was that one called? A Storm of Swords.
Yeah.
And it's actually about Tyrion and how he's the Hand at that point during the series. But the running theory now, I wish I could say I came up with this, but I didn't. I found it. I think it was Nerdist shared it. The theory is that it's actually about, what's his face? Jaime now.
Okay.
So the lyrics go, he rode through the streets of the city, down from his hill on high, over the winds and the steps and the cobbles, he rode to a woman's cry. For she was a secret treasure, she was his shame and his bliss, and a chain and a keep are nothing compared to a woman's kiss. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are warm. So the theory now is that it's foreshadowing the fact that Jaime is the Valonqar that is most likely going to kill Cersei.
Okay, I'm so happy you said that because I literally bet Mark the other day that I was pretty sure Jaime would be the one to kill Cersei. And I thought about this for a while because he has seemed displeased with her, not overly, but enough that he is not, what's the word? He doesn't agree with her choices. And obviously, ever since he let Tyrion go, it's a huge, basically, he goes against her wishes, like, dramatically. And, yeah, I think of all the characters we have seen, Jaime evolved a lot. Like, he was unbearable in the first season, and he has changed so much. And that's not to say he's not ruthless and won't do anything for her, because he obviously loves her. But I also think about the fact that he is the King Slayer, and now she's the Queen. And I feel like that would be a repetition of seeing her do something so horrible to someone he cares about, because he does care about other people now that it's not just Cersei, that he might be the one to end it. And I don't think anything would hurt Cersei more than Jaime being the one to kill her. That's what I think.
I agree with you entirely. I had a theory long before the song came back into the series was that she'd eventually, the three of them would come together, her, Jaime, and Tyrion, and she'd have Tyrion killed. And Jamie would just have no allegiance to her at that point because they have nothing in common anymore, and he'd kill
They
her.
don't. Yeah. He's clearly upset about the death of all of his children. She's so much more focused on power, and he has seen firsthand with the Mad King what that does to someone. And he had a very emotional moment with Brienne when he said, like, what was I supposed to do? Like, he basically ordered me to kill my family. Like, what was I supposed to do? And I feel like that's gonna come back again. And maybe that will be Jaime's redemption, that he actually once again kills a mad queen, a mad person in charge. And also, Hands of Gold, isn't like Jaime's hand made of gold?
Exactly, which is why so many people think this is what it's going to be about. Because in the books, when Tyrion's the Hand, he actually has a chain of gold hands that he wears instead of just like the little pin thing. And he actually, when he goes after, oh, what's her name? Not Tysha, Shae. When he kills Shae and his father, he actually uses that golden chain.
Oh, right,
So
yeah.
he uses the golden hands, which is what Jaime has, a golden hand. So the theory goes that Jaime will use his golden hand to kill Cersei.
Interesting. I'm glad you mentioned that because I thought I was just kind of like, I had just thought of that, and I'm glad that there might be some truth in it. I would love to see that happen.
I really hope it will. I just think it'll be a good way to end it, because nobody's gonna have a happy ending.
That's true,
Nobody.
but we need some satisfaction in some places.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and I also don't think, like, as much. Oh, because if I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm sorry. Arya is obviously aiming for Cersei now. That's her next target. And as much as I love that Arya's getting revenge, I just don't see Arya killing Cersei. Like, they personally didn't have any direct conflict. I mean, obviously, they didn't like each other, and obviously, she helped kill her father, but. It wouldn't be the same as Jaime being the one to kill Cersei. I think that would be way more interesting.
Yeah, I don't think Arya will kill her either. I think after meeting with these Lannister men, she's gonna have a slight change of heart because she's realizing like they're not just names on a list anymore. These are actual people. Like when she got there and she realized who they were, you could see she was ready to kill them. And then she started talking to them more and that all changed. So I think there's a chance that they might show up again in the next episode, briefly, or she'll just be somewhere else completely. I
Maybe,
don't
yeah.
know.
Also, and that whole
Moving on.
thing. Oh, sorry, before you
Yeah, go
move on.
ahead.
That whole thing of Arya being like, oh, what are you gonna do in Westeros? She's like, I'm gonna go kill the queen. I'm like, Arya, it's enough. Like, I'm so sick of her having zero stealth. I mean, obviously she's stealthy because she has killed a lot of people and knows what she's doing. But this whole thing of just like, I'm going to kill people, very important people, it's like, shut up, Arya. Just shut up.
You done?
I'm done. Yes, I'm done. I'm
Okay.
done.
You get annoyed about a lot of these people, don't you?
Well, I wouldn't be watching if I wasn't annoyed with them and wanted to see what they were doing. I don't know. Like, I love a lot of them, but there's certain things that they keep doing that I'm like, you've really learned nothing, have you? And Cersei's one of them with her arrogance, and Arya's another one with her, you killed my father, prepare to die kind of attitude.
Yeah. I don't think either of them are gonna have a very happy ending. Which makes me sad
Again,
about
we will
Arya.
see. Yeah, it's true.
Next up, we go to the Brotherhood Without Banners. And they end up at this deserted home and the Hound is with them. And it happens to be the home that him and Arya went to a while back, and he killed the family that was there. And that's the one that they found out, oh, there's gold in the basement, you can take that. So when they get there, the Brotherhood is like, oh, they probably have wine and stuff hidden away, and the Hound is like, they don't. I just know that they don't.
Oh, you know what? I didn't pick up on that. Like, it seemed like it was important in some way, but I had no idea who they were.
Yeah, no, he at least killed the father. I don't know if he actually killed the daughter. But I can't remember at this point. And then later on, they have a moment where they have the look in the fire scene where they ask him what he sees, and he sees a wall of ice, specifically the wall. The wall meets the sea. There's a castle. There's a mountain, an arrowhead, and dead marching past thousands of them, which is almost word for word what he said. Then he ends up burying the father and the daughter, and then holding a very informal funeral and tells them that they both deserve better.
Yeah, it was very, it was the perfect funeral given by the Hound, honestly.
Yeah, he started off by saying, like, going through the seven, and he couldn't remember what he's supposed to say. And he was just like, all right, screw this. I'm sorry.
Which I think it's even more genuine than saying a prayer. Like, it's the first time the
Yeah.
Hound has shown any remorse. Well, technically he was a changed man, but we didn't see that process. So seeing him facing the things he has done and being sorry about it, I think it's huge for this character.
Yeah, because up until this point, up until he like was with the religious people, I can't remember what they've been calling them, whatever. When, up until that point, the only people who's ever shown remorse or anything other than like aversion to have been Sansa and Arya. Literally the only two people in the entire world, and he wanted to protect them too. And now that he like went through this like emotional journey and he's changing and everything, he is showing that emotion more, but he's not doing a very good job at it because he's never had to.
No, but I think it's big for him. He doesn't, he may not know how to show it, but he's feeling it, and I think that's important. When they were in Winterfell, I think Littlefinger mentioned something about Brienne being an incredible woman because she obviously beat the Hound, and then the Hound shows up. Do you think there might be another battle between these two?
I don't think so.
What about Arya? Do you think he'll bump into Arya at some point?
I would like for that to happen. If it does happen, I don't think it'll be this season, though.
What do you think his reaction would be?
I don't know. I know that we're talking about it. I don't think they're going to see each other until they'll probably run into each other again and he'll be killed like the next minute.
Oh,
Just
come
because
on,
of
don't say
their like
that.
relationship that they had. If you've been paying attention, this isn't going to well end well.
I know that. I'm not looking for happy endings, but does he have to die the second he sees Arya again? Like, that's so cruel of you,
I
Bridget.
this is I'm talking about George R. R. Martin here. He would do that.
I see we have no hope.
I have no hope. I just expect him to do like the most despicable things ever. Like he made us hate Theon and then love Theon within like 2 seasons.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive what torture will do to a character
Yeah.
and the way you feel about it.
Yeah. Like
I don't know. I never hated Theon. I mean, I didn't like his actions, but I think it was easy to see where he was coming from, and it came from a place of fear and insecurity from his father. And I think early on he knew he made a mistake, but he couldn't back out. So,
Yeah.
yeah. I don't know. I just don't want the Hound to die. Like, don't bring back the Hound to kill him immediately, please. Like, there's gotta be a reason he's alive. Because right now he's with. Okay, so these characters are important, but they're not essential to the story so far. Like, they're obviously gonna mean something. So, I don't know. He's gotta be there for a reason, not just to bring them along. I don't know. We'll see.
The running theory was that there will be the Clegane Bowl between him and his brother. But in the last season, Cersei outlawed any trial by combat, which is how people thought it was going to come about, that the Mountain would fight for Cersei and that the Hound would fight for whoever was going to be against her. And now that's not going to happen, at least in that way. So I think he's still around. That was my original thought, but now that he's with the Brotherhood Without Banners and that he saw things in the fire, I think he's another chosen of the Lord of Light, because the only people who can see stuff in the fire are those who are chosen.
That's very true. Yeah. I just don't know, because the Hound was a character that didn't have much purpose apart from surviving. And he has done that, and he was, I don't know what has brought him back or what exactly he wants anymore. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see.
We will.
Who do we have left?
Next up, we're back at the Citadel with Sam and Gilly and the
Oh,
baby.
yes.
Did they name the baby after Sam in the show? Is that what they did?
I think so, yeah. I might be
Okay.
totally wrong, but I think it is named after Sam.
I want to say that it was, but I can't remember. And I know the books are incredibly different as far as Gilly and the baby goes, so I
Okay.
can't entirely remember. But they're reading a book called The Legends of the Long Night, which is about what's going to happen with the White Walkers when they come during this winter, because it's supposedly going to be the night that never ends and all this other stuff. Then in there, they find a map of Dragonstone, and that's where they find out that within Dragonstone, there's an entire mountain made of dragonglass, and that's where they're going to be able to find the most amount of dragonglass anywhere to be able to defeat the White Walkers.
Right.
And then there's a big part that happens later on. He's doing chores again, and he ends up near a bunch of cells, and he's, like, changing out their, like, trays of food. And he gets to this one cell, and he goes to grab it, and somebody reaches out, and the person asks the Dragon Queen, has she come? And,
I was super happy about that.
Yeah, it's Drora.
It has to be. There's no other way.
I can't see it being anyone else. It's the same arm that got hit by the Stone Men. I can't expect anyone else to be asking about the Dragon Queen.
Yeah.
And if he is, like, infected with Grayscale, he's probably losing his mind slowly, which is why he can't remember her name and he called her the Dragon Queen instead. But yeah, so that was very important part for the fact that you're like, oh, yes. Here's Jorah.
Yeah, Jorah's not doing so well. Just as a change of pace, Jorah's not doing well.
He's not doing well, no. I think he went there because he was told to look for a cure, and he decided to go to the place with the most knowledge in the world. And there's a pretty good chance, since they have the cadavers there, and since they have the cells, that they're actually working on finding a cure. Because they're trying to understand the human body more, and they're trying to understand everything more, and they're holding these Stone Men in cells for a reason.
Yes.
So I think that they have to be, and he just subjected himself to that.
Are you telling me you have hope for Jorah?
Very little. But yes. That's the only explanation I can come up with for him being there.
It makes perfect sense, because that's the last time we saw him. It was Daenerys telling him, well, ordering him to find a cure, basically. And off he went, so.
Yeah.
Your explanation would make perfect sense.
Thank you. I try. So then the last scene, if finally, honestly, up until this point, my aunt literally looked over at me in the last scene with Sam and was like, where the hell is Dany? Here she is. She finally makes it to Dragonstone. And my first note for this scene is Fierce Curls Girl. I got to this point where I just had to write things down. there was a beautiful shot of the three dragons flying off the boats over to Dragonstone.
God, yes.
I thought it was kind of ludicrous that she was wearing heels on a beach.
She was wearing boots.
They had heels.
Barely, though.
It counts. It seemed unnecessary.
Wow, you won't forgive anything, will you?
I will not, no. and then as they were walking up towards Dragonstone, it looked like there was a cave on the beach,
mm-hmm.
like tucked in the corner, which might be how they get to the Mountain of Dragon Glass, I think. Possibly.
Okay.
Or it could have just been a weird shadow. I have no idea. the rock formations on Dragonstone is very interesting.
Yes.
I have no idea what sort of rock it is or why it looks like that, how it's, like, slanted and all just, like, straight lines, but it's really cool to look at. They get up there and the gates are still closed to Dragonstone, but they're not locked. They open them, like, with little to no effort. And there was winding stairs that led up to the castle, and then once they get inside, they tear down, well, Dany rips down a Baratheon banner, and I don't know if you felt this, but I was just like, that was underwhelming compared to what happened when the Bolton banners were torn down.
Oh, do you know what? Yeah, I mean, it is underwhelming. The entire scene was very slow,
mm-hmm.
and I guess that's the whole part where we want it a bit more. But at the same time, it's not so much about conquering something, but her coming back home. And I think that's what we saw with her, like, the way she touched the sand and the way she sort of explored her home. It's like, this is where she belongs, and I think that was a little more sentimental than anything else.
Yeah. Her and Dany end up going into Stannis's war room, where the stone table that's just a giant map is, which I still think is one of the coolest concepts that they've ever come up with.
Yeah.
And then, as they're, like, walking around in this room, it was when I realized that for the past 10 minutes, nobody said anything.
I know! It's an entire scene with zero dialogue.
Yeah.
Again.
And then they get to the end, and as we're coming up to, like, the last few seconds, I'm like, are they going to say anything, or are they just going to cut it off? And then the last word said is from Dany saying, shall we begin?
And it's over.
Yeah.
Now, this is the part where I'm going to need your knowledge and explain things to me. So,
okay.
This is Dragonstone, and as far as I know, this was... Is this where the Mad King was, or was the Mad King in King's Landing?
The Mad King was in King's Landing, but it's where the Targaryens initially landed to start their invasion of Westeros.
I understand. So when the Baratheons usurp the king, eventually they go to Dragonstone and the Targaryens have to flee. Is that what happened?
Well, that's where they finished their attack on the Targaryens. Well, yeah, that's
Okay.
where Viserys and Daenerys fled from.
Okay, so it has been abandoned all this time, and Daenerys is the first person to come back.
It has not been abandoned because Stannis was left in charge of it because they couldn't just leave the keep alone because it was a good
Oh, yeah, that's where Stannis was. Yeah,
Yeah,
right?
which is why it was the Baratheon banner with the flaming heart and the crown over the stag instead of just the
Right,
stag and the
okay.
crown.
That's what I was trying to check, because it was, like, very abandoned when she went in, and I was just trying to figure out the background story of that. Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
because all of Stannis' men left Dragonstone to go to the wall to like try and reclaim Westeros for themselves.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay,
So it's been
so.
about 2 seasons since anyone's been there?
Basically,
Ish.
yeah. So I don't remember this from the last season, how Daenerys ended this, because the last thing I remember is that they had decided they were going to go to Westeros,
Yes.
and Tyrion was made Hand of the Queen, and she broke up with what's his face,
Dario.
and I hate Daenerys so much, and I can't tell you why. There's nothing wrong with him, I just don't like
I
him.
never trusted him.
Yeah, right? I always thought he was going to betray her in some way. I don't know. There was
Because
something
that's how
about
he
him that.
started it off. He was a sellsword and he earned his spot with her by killing the people who he was like working with. They were his partners and then he just beheaded them.
Yeah, and then he became her boy toy, and I thought that was going to happen. Something was going to happen there, and then nothing happened. And I don't
Yeah.
know. I don't care for him very much.
I don't either.
Yeah. But did they mention at any point that they were going to head to Dragonstone first? That was the part that confused me a little.
I don't think they ever said where they were going to go first. At least as far as before they left, but that was always her plan with Viserys to like get an army and then go to Dragonstone and launch their attack from there, the same way that the Targaryens did in the first place.
Okay.
So I think that's why she went there. I don't think they. I don't remember them saying anything directly about them going to Dragonstone, but they might have.
Okay. It's okay. Jerry will yell at us soon and let us know
Yeah,
we're wrong.
Jerry, tell us what is going on.
And I'm assuming that's why she obviously ends it with "Shall we begin?" Because they're gonna begin planning to attack on Westeros.
Yeah, which like. They were just sailing across the ocean for who knows how long. They couldn't have been planning it then.
I mean, I don't know how this works. I am certain some planning has occurred, but I don't know. I've had big issues understanding the distances between the places and how long it takes to travel them, because in one episode they're like, "Oh, Westeros is 1,000 miles away," and then in another episode someone already traveled from the wall to there. So I don't know. I don't know, but
Yeah.
I hope they've been planning something. We'll see.
Hopefully. Also, zero direwolves in this episode, in case anyone was wondering. Did not
No
show
dire
up.
wolves. But to be fair, how many do we have left? Two?
Two.
One we haven't seen since season one? I mean, it's
Yeah.
been a while.
Still, we only saw a direwolf like twice last season, maybe three times. And it was
I'm so sick
ghosts
that
every
they'll.
time.
Yeah. I'm so sick that anytime you see one, they die. And
Yeah.
it's not fair. It's not fair.
It's not.
One of these dire wolves needs to get pregnant. I need more direwolf puppies.
Nymeria can.
Cups. Well, God knows what she's doing. I don't know where she is.
We know where she is in the books.
Do you?
Yeah, she's in the Riverlands with a huge pack of wolves, just like roaming around and killing all sorts of stuff.
Oh my God, that's so cool. How does that even come up in the book?
All of the Starks, well, most of the Starks have warging abilities. We know Bran does. Jon has done it, and Arya has done it. We don't know if Rob or Rickon did, and Sansa, I don't think, ever got the chance because Lady was killed so early on.
Right, okay.
But while Arya was over with the Faceless Men, she was having dreams where she was warging as Nymeria at night, and she would just wander through the Riverlands and just, like, slaughter Lannister men.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And
I wish they would have added that to the series.
If only. That would have been amazing. Wolves are, like, my favorite animal. So
I don't blame you.
I get very excited when they show up.
Yeah, they were my favorite animal for a long time.
Yeah. That was why I continued reading Game of Thrones.
Hey, makes sense. Dragons and wolves. I mean, what more do you want?
Yeah. I was reading the first chapter, and I was like, hey, they have a bunch of direwolf pups. That's awesome.
Committed for 7 years.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's pretty much the entire recap of Dragonstone. We used to end this with death predictions just for the heck of it, and I would always say Dario. It never happened. It never happened. I mean, there's still time, but I don't think it will happen. We don't mean these, this is not a commitment. We don't think these will happen, but maybe you do. Like, do you have any death predictions, Bridget, for the next episode?
Honestly, this episode is kind of hard to go off of.
Yeah.
My best guess is it's going to be one of those Lannister men, if they show up again.
Arya?
Yeah. Yeah.
Most probably. Oh my god, probably. If it's Ed Sheeran, that would be amazing.
But honestly, I think they might be the only candidates, because I don't think anyone's in enough dire of straits for something to happen. Except for maybe Bran. Yeah. There could be someone up by the wall who dies.
That's true. I'm going to go for Jorah.
I don't
He seems to be the worst off.
I don't think it'll be Jorah just yet. He wasn't fully stoned yet.
I'm sticking to that, though.
Okay.
We'll see.
I'm going to go with Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
Even though the chances of him showing up again are pretty slim, still gonna go with it.
I support that decision.
Thank you.
All right, Bridget, thank you so much for taking us through that whole mess of all the drama and recapping.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for. I'm parents. Yeah.
We are supposed to be joined by Adonis in the next episode. We will see, because he is definitely watching them, and he's the other person in the podcast who I think has read some of the books. I don't know if he actually finished them, but he was reading them last time I checked. So you can count on Adonis. Well, I'm lying. You can't count on Adonis on the next episode, but
Adonis was
40%
supposed to be
chance.
Here today, so.
Yeah, 40% chance he will be there, so we'll see. Let us know what you think, what you thought of this episode in the comment section down below. Your own death predictions, what do you think is going to happen, your own theories, Jerry, I'm looking at you, and we will talk about them next time as well.
Yeah, and let me know if my theories are ridiculous too, or if you like them.
I think they're pretty spot on. I like them.
I hope so.
There have to be crazier theories out there, right?
There have to be.
Alright. Well, if you do have any, you guys, you can leave them in the comment section. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this Game of Thrones recap. We will see you probably next Tuesday as well. That's kind of like when we get together and talk. We watch them either on Monday or on Sunday. Probably Monday for me, because I can't watch them on Sunday, sadly. I will do my best. But anyway, thank you so much for listening to us, and we will see you in the next one. From the Netherlands, I am Maria Garcia.
And from New York, I'm Bridget Sirdoff.
See you soon.